Jay Lifson. I'm the executive director of the Lafayette Chamber.
And spell your last name for me.
Lifson.
And, okay, talk about all the things that you just started to allude to. Where are we and what are we doing and why is it important?
Okay, so every year we have an annual community breakfast, Thanksgiving breakfast, just to get the community together, talking, just sharing some, you know, sharing a nice moment before the craziness of the holidays. Well, it's been we've been unable to do that for the last 2 years. So I had a crazy idea. Hey, let's walk the reservoir instead. So here we are at the beautiful Lafayette Reservoir, and we're going to have a little coffee if it ever gets here. The guy got locked out of his store, so we're patiently waiting. No one wants to walk without coffee. And then we're going to take a walk around the reservoir. Hey, Scott. And then we're going to hear from Dan, Pastor Dan, and we'll hear from John McCormick, who's our chamber president this year.
Why do you think it's important to connect this event to Stop the Hate?
Well, there's, in my opinion, you know, if you've been living under a rock for the last 400 years, you understand why we have to keep this message going. Yeah.
Fantastic. I love it. And the DEI table's over here, yeah?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
And the gal in the blue jacket, she's Janet.
Okay.
Very connected to the community. She runs the community garden, and she's on the committee.
Awesome. And I've spoken with her. She's also in my article this week.
Lynn?
Yeah.
Oh, she's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
cool.
She's on the committee.
Okay.
And we have one of our council members is here.
Okay.
And that's Teresa Geringer with a burgundy vest over there.
Okay, cool.
And what? Anyone else? And then Jennifer.
I'm going to talk to this guy because he keeps popping up here.
Yeah, talk to Scott. Talk to Scott and Wendy.
I didn't know you were are you recording?
Yeah. I'm doing a piece for the La Mirinda Weekly and also for KPFA.
I go, where's that goddamn coffee? No.
can I ask you a question? Tell me what your name is and why you're here today.
I am Scott Hampton. I'm here to walk with all the chamber people for... What's it for?
What's it for? Well, this is for our community breakfast.
Community breakfast.
But
that's right.
It's a walk, and we're also sort of honoring diversity, equity, inclusion.
Yes.
Belonging.
Any thoughts about that?
I think it's wonderful. I think inclusion is wonderful. Hate is not good, and community is great.
Fantastic! Thank you so much.
Thank you.
But yeah. Hello.
Hi.
Are you doing the rock station?
Yes.
I met you before.
Ten. Yes.
Your last name?
Wakeman.
Oh my gosh.
You sent
Perfect.
Me an email. And
it's okay. It's okay. Because here you are. And I'm doing a radio story. So the other piece is going to include her. But this is perfect. I wanted
Excellent.
To get you in your element. Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Okay. Tell me who you are, where you are, what you're doing this morning.
So my name is Jennifer Wakeman, and I'm the staff person for the Lafayette Community DEIB Committee. And this morning we are inviting community members to paint rocks to put in our BIPOC rock garden at the Lafayette Community Center.
And because this piece got cut out, but talk about what the rock garden is and how it came to be in one location.
Yeah, so we had a local student who felt strongly about the Black Lives Matter movement, and he painted rocks and put them by the East Bay Regional Trail. And people kept... moving his rocks or defacing his rocks, and he was really disheartened by it. And so he went to the city council and shared his experience, and the city council felt strongly about supporting his effort and his vision for DEI and decided to set a permanent area aside for a BIPOC rock garden at the Lafayette Community Center where his rocks were relocated to.
So what happened, the bad deeds of some residents and his willingness and persistence to really push on it actually made it into kind of a citywide institutionalized.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So what kind of response are you getting these days?
Well, we're just trying to get the word out that people can still contribute to the rock garden. And so when we have, when the community DEIB group has events, we're trying to make sure that we can incorporate opportunities for people to make contributions for the rock garden.
All right. And who's this?
This is my son, Emmett.
Can I ask him a question?
Yeah.
Can I ask you a question? Is he too shy? These are my children.
Lovely. Nice to see you guys again.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You saw them before. Okay. And why do you think it's important to connect the, you know, there's an annual, you know, breakfast tradition this year is changing. We're doing a sunrise stroll. Why is it important to connect it to Stop the Hate?
Oh my gosh, because I think that the community DEIB committee's efforts, their whole intention is to make awareness and education part of the mainstream in Lafayette, and so that people always feel welcome and feel like they are part of a community that accepts you as you are.
And there's a larger narrative sometimes that people on this side of the tunnel from Orinda onwards don't care about diversity, and it doesn't matter in Lafayette. What do you want to say to that narrative?
That's untrue, that it does matter to people in our community. And though we have historically been white and affluent, that we still want to make space and make sure to recognize other groups of people, whatever their backgrounds, whatever their histories are, and welcome them into our community.
And lastly, what are some of the other efforts that you have coming up around on a citywide level around DEIB work?
Yeah, so the biggest thing is that at the council meeting on November 22nd, the community DEIB committee will be going before council to lay out kind of a plan of intended work and to ask for funding. So it's really asking the city to make a serious stand about the work that the group is doing. They're asking for money, but they're also asking for the council to consistently use the lens of DEI as they make decisions throughout the city. So not just with regard to specifically DEI events, but also with regard to housing decisions and public safety decisions and decisions around the schools, really keeping that lens prominent.
So ultimately, it could connect to policy and maybe making it affordable for those of us who are hanging on by a thread here.
Yes, exactly. I mean, it would be our, I think it's the group's ideal that all of it is inclusive.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Sure.
He's so cute. Even though I can't use them, I'm going to talk to them because they're
sure.
Hi, guys. Do you want to tell me what you're doing just for fun? Oh, you see breakfast. Do you want to get some breakfast? I bet you do.
Look,
that's
sad?
So pretty.
I'm letting her dry.
Today, you're a hero.
Set it aside, okay?
What are you doing? Tell me what your name is and what you're working on, lady.
Painting a rock.
What's your name?
Espy.
Why is it important to paint a rock?
It's for the rock garden in Lafayette. For like, it shows people respect that you care for people from like different backgrounds. Kind, yeah.
And how early did you have to get up to get here this morning?
6 o'clock in the morning.
How was that?
Kind of challenging, but also fun.
Awesome. Anything else you want to? Why is it important to stop the hate?
Because hate, it's like, it's the opposite of caring, and so it's important to stop hate so we can care for others and be kind.
Cool. And you are bicultural, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what's special about that?
Well, I'm half, so. My mom was born in Wisconsin, and my dad was born in El Salvador, so I'm like half. But it's fun to be half because you can still be two things.
Okay. Anything else you want to say? Do you want to send a message to people about stop the hate?
Just care for others and be kind.
She's writing for.
Can you tell me what your name is and what you're doing right now?
Yes, Janet Thomas, and I am painting a rock.
And how long have you been involved in the DEIB committee?
It's been about 7 months now, yes, and it evolved from the city's task force, which started after the George Floyd death when there was conversation around race equity and inclusion.
What did the George Floyd death mean to you personally, and how did that move you to get involved?
Well, actually, it wasn't just that one event, although it was a shocking reminder of the injustices that exist that we tend to gloss over or cover up. And it was so apparent, and the conversation started opening up, that this seemed like a time ripe to deal with some of these issues in all communities.
Wonderful. And you got up at very early before the sun this morning?
I was here at 6:30, yes. And this is one of the most beautiful places on earth.
The reservoir, right?
Yeah, so it wasn't hard for me to be here that early.
And what do you say to people who think that people in Lafayette don't care about diversity?
Oh, I think they care. I think they care. I think, though, that, again, to have a safe conversation with people, you need the right framing and the right environment. That's what we're trying to promote.
Thank you. Enjoy painting your rat.
The chocolate
one?
Yeah.
It's right on this side.
We're going to hear from Pastor Dan. We're going to do some stretches led by Jenna Unbound, and then we're going to do the walk. And so just briefly, as we get out of the thing. Oh, and also, if you haven't gotten a parking pass, Sarah does have them. So if you need them to make sure your car doesn't get towed, find Sarah over there. So just real briefly, though, I guess on behalf of the chamber and the chamber board, I think this event is just tremendous. Really, it doesn't come from three things that I think really epitomize this, right? For the thankfulness,
everybody.
Everything is adaptability, right? This, normally, we do our community breakfast, right? This time,
the
but we didn't quite
Grace
feel like getting
right
inside.
Behind us.
So this is a
it's
chance
Ruben.
To try something
She'd
new
love
and
to
something
say hi.
Different.
She's our
right?
city manager.
Okay.
Important, and you know what? Some things work, some things don't. I think this works. Really phenomenal. And third, I think this opportunity for growth, right? This NASA last couple years, we've had a chance to reflect and grow on what's important. I think hearing from Dan and what we're going to hear about diversity, equity, inclusion, belonging, and everything, it's really a chance for us to reflect
can
a little bit, looking inward, and seeing how we can all be better and do better, which is what it's really all about. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce Pastor Danson, who will give us a few remarks.
All right, fantastic. Well, I'm super happy to be here, kind of. I don't normally wander around in the cold that much, so it's always a little bit of a challenge to do that. I'm going to keep my comments really brief. I've been thinking about this all week long. When they asked me to do it, I thought, gee, what do I want to say about this? This is not normally my wheelhouse, right? I'm a religious person, so I run a religious organization. I manage what's known as Creekside Commons and then also do a podcast called Soul Forum. But this last year, I went on sabbatical all summer long in Vermont, and part of the goal of that sabbatical was to try to interview people and to explore with them how their kind of spirituality or the religious life manifests itself outside of religious institutions. You know, how do regular people really try to craft a meaningful life? And so I did a ton of interviews. And I came back from that sabbatical, and the first event I went to in Lafayette was one of these events, right, where the community was gathering together to think about how are we embodying diversity in our community? How are we thinking about what it means to be equitable as we think about resource management and distribution? How do we include all voices? And is that the kind of world in which we want to belong? And I thought, what a beautiful expression of the search for human meaning happening right here in Lafayette. And even though I traveled all the way to Vermont to find it, it's taking place right here in Lafayette. And I think how beautiful it is even to see, you know, things like this starting to emerge in our common life together that remind us how important this is. So that's the first thing I wanted to kind of just share, is just my deep appreciation for what it means to be a part of a community that's striving to find language and articulate through both word and deed and actions and integration into your own companies and workplaces and schools and the theater and nonprofits, that we might strive to work more fully to bring this about in our time is pretty awesome. And it's a gift I would want not only for myself, but I'd want for my kids and my grandkids as well, right? The next generation needs to find their way into this more fully. The second thing I wanted to talk about is, obviously Thanksgiving has changed a lot in our household. I don't know about your household, but I remember when I was 7 years old, I loved Thanksgiving at my uncle and aunt's house down in Carlsbad, California. And I loved just coming together around a table with family who was very diverse. I didn't think they were in our gene pool, but clearly they were. But it was all about the food and the consumption, and on the table was always a pilgrim and an Indian living in solidarity together. Because that's the story that I got told when I was younger, right? Well, that's changed. You know, we know our history much better now. And now when I sit down with my critical thinking kids and even critical thinking grandkids for Thanksgiving meal, it's all about thinking critically about our history and about maybe this pilgrimage out to the Western world wasn't as beautiful as we thought. It has created a lot of benefit for so many, and it's left and destroyed a ton of people in its wake. And so we all kind of live with sort of the ache of that in our bones, I think. And so we gather around the table now. We don't have a pilgrim and we don't have an Indian sitting on the table, but we're more aware of what it means to be responsible for the impact we have on each other and how we think about our collective life experience together. And I think that's partly what it means to be thankful these days, is to have this capacity to really be thoughtful about the way we build traditions that might reflect this new perspective. And so now it's beautiful to gather around on Thanksgiving and be talking about this sort of thing, right? What does it mean to lean this way now? And I think that's just so valuable and important for our time. The last thing I want to tell you before exercise is a little story about a meadow somewhere near Occidental. Just off the Bohemian Highway. Have many of you been to that little neck of the woods? So that's a little giveaway about where I'm going with this. I want to talk about that meadow because you're going to do some walking out in nature. And one of the things that I find as a clergy person or a spiritual person is that I've spent a lot of my energy trying to create what I call, and many people call now, eco-spirituality. Right? It's connecting what's most valuable to you to the planet, and listening to the planet for cues of how you should live your life. So I spent a whole week on the land with a bunch of weird people just like me, right? We were out in this meadow somewhere in Occidental, I don't even know where I was, and we spent the time, every morning we'd get up, we'd sleep on the meadow. In the morning we'd get up and everybody would share their dreams on the meadow, so it was dream sharing. And then we would have breakfast in silence on the meadow. And then we would walk the land all day. And then we would come back and reflect on our walk on the land all day. And then at night, they would have this indigenous, they called it medicine, but it was really liquid tobacco. And we would snort this liquid tobacco and it would wake up your brain, and then you'd sit around the fire until you passed out. And this is all in search of eco-spirituality. And I swear I couldn't figure it out. I'm like, what the hell am I doing here? I mean, this is, I'm not making any connections between my spiritual life and this experience in the meadow. The last day, a naturalist showed up who knew the land so well. And that naturalist sat down on the meadow with us and started talking about the meadow itself. Not my abstract longing to create meaning, but what was going on in the land beneath my feet. And he began to talk about the amazing degree of diversity that existed for generations before my arrival this week on the meadow, that interconnected the trees and the plants and the birds and the movement beneath the soil. Life is because of diversity. Life does not happen unless diversity is playing together. And if it doesn't play together, it just doesn't happen. That's what sustains you and I, is the diverse capacity of this biosphere to sustain all of us. We need to embrace diversity because that's in our biomes. It's in our physiology. It's in our planet. It's in our oceans. It is reality. So linking your best self to the very gift of life that sustains us is, in my opinion, the best spiritual approach you can take. So today, when you walk around, maybe carry the spirit of that meadow with you and pay attention to the way in which Earth itself has been teaching us about diversity all along, if we would just wake up and hear it. And we can start letting go of things like monoculture, maybe letting go of monotheism, monarchies, and realize that it's really diversity that births life. All right, enough of my stuff. All right, with that, do you need a microphone to do this?
I don't know that. Sure.
Sure, you do.
Why not?
Yeah, because you're going to be filming. Okay. So you got to look cool and sound cool.
Thank you, that's wonderful. That was a really beautiful lead-in to what I do. For me, we talk a lot about the diversity of your biome, but then also your human experience. And so my job is creating the opportunity for people to go out and experience their world and their life in different ways that they otherwise don't feel the freedom to do. So we create the foundation and the strength for them to go and do. We do rock climbing collectively. We do backpacking. We do fly fishing, which we go out and look at the bugs that we're using and how they coexist with their environment and how we utilize that for survival purposes. As it relates to this walk today out in nature, my focus is on your posture and your hip health, right? And so we're going to start at the top. We're going to put our thumbs down and we're going to circle up and around and back. And I'd like everyone to actually take a nice wide step.
Hi, hello. Can I bother you for a minute?
Not at all. I'm Nuru.
I'm Sharon. Nice to meet you.
Pleasure. Welcome.
Thank you so much. These are my children. They got
hello.
Cold suddenly.
I don't want to walk.
Okay, but okay, you don't have to walk. Just hang out with me.
No, I don't
want to
walk.
Okay, honey. Okay, it's fine. Mommy's just doing some interviews. So did you hear? I'm writing a piece for the La Miranda.
I'm so happy.
Yeah, thank you. Can I ask you a couple of questions?
Certainly.
So I'm going to have you begin by telling me what your name is, what your title is, and where you are today.
My name is Nirup Srivatsa, and I'm the city manager.
And how do you feel about this event happening this year, first of all, and then happening with the focus on DEI?
Well, the Thanksgiving breakfast, the annual breakfast, was one of my favorites. And we missed it last year. But this is such a wonderful substitute because it brings people together in the outside, at the reservoir, and with the DEIB focus, which has been, I'm so proud of our community for stepping up and having these difficult conversations, and folding that into the Thanksgiving breakfast is just perfect.
How long have you been the city manager here?
I've been the city manager for 2 years and one as an interim, a total of three. But I've worked for Lafayette for 27 years.
And do you live in Lafayette?
I live in the unincorporated portion of Lafayette.
Okay.
In the county.
What progress have you seen over the last three decades as you've been doing this work?
I think it's, we've been able to maintain the beautiful hillsides, the wonderful ridge lines. At the same time, we've been able to grow our downtown and in a wonderful way and add to our affordable housing stock. Because Lafayette is a community for everyone. Our general plan, our land use constitution says that Lafayette is a place for people of all ages, incomes, ethnicities. And being able to do that has been one of the most satisfying things. We still have a lot of work ahead.
Yeah, so there's
a lot of work ahead.
Yeah.
Especially with the high cost of housing these days. There's more to be done. But I think this community is committed to that, and I'm so proud.
Thank you so much for that thorough response. And what kind of, I'm curious, especially on the housing front, as I know many families are hanging on by a thread to keep their kids in the school district. What encouraging words can you offer to people, or what progress is already being made in that?
Well, the city of Lafayette for many years has had something called an inclusionary housing ordinance, which means that if you build a housing development in the downtown, 15% of those units have to be affordable. And over the years, we've been able to grow that every project on a project-by-project basis. So as a result, we have affordable units in all the new downtown developments that you see, and they're all integrated with the market rate homes. So it's been a long process and a slow one, but I think it's a step in the right direction.
Awesome. And this is another question that's not at all your doing. It's just kind of a comment of where we are. So I was with a mother of a couple of children who was calling to get on the BLM housing, or like to get and to inquire about the townhouse unit in town, and they told her, well, there's a long wait list, it could
there's
be up to a decade.
Yeah.
But if she wanted to stay in one, there's one immediately available for $4,000. So do you think there's any chance that we'll ever rethink the 15% threshold and make
we
more?
We would love to go more than that, but sometimes the state of, you know, we housing is kind of regulated by the state of California. They consider that to be a constraint on development because then market rate developers will not build. So it's a fine balance. I wish we could get, oh, absolutely. I think we need more housing for the people who work in the downtown, for our teachers, for people, for young families. Absolutely.
So
it's getting there, and we don't have the money to give anymore.
Right.
It's not as if we're not a wealthy city government-wise, because we're a low property tax city. We only get 6 cents on the dollar of a property tax, whereas some, you know, places like Richmond get 22 cents to the dollar. So, you know, it's not that we have money to give a developer to say add more affordable housing.
So we'd really need a developer to be so, like, we would almost need, you need,
we need a nonprofit as well. We've had one nonprofit project that we approved with 46 very low income units for seniors. But, you know, they don't come by too often.
So, and in order for this to really make a dent in this, we probably need another nonprofit or a developer that has like a DEI kind of heart where they're thinking about this as a structural issue.
Yeah.
Do you have hope that that could happen?
Oh, I'm always hopeful. You can't live without hope.
Okay, great. Anything else you want to add?
No, just welcome. I'm so glad that you're here.
Thank you so much for your perspective and for answering difficult questions.
Oh, no,
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Mom, can I take some of those from the side now?
Yeah, you can.
All right. So good to meet you.
Yeah, totally.
Can you get me a chocolate one?
Yeah, sure. You can go get one.
Can you
go? And are we holding you back from the walk?
If I decide to walk, I can always just walk home.
Okay. My children are like very tired.
Well, that's good. Yeah, you know, I left it. Yeah, because I thought I was supposed to, you know.
I'm right here, Em.
But it worked out great. Yeah.
Can I bother you for a quick question?
Absolutely.
So
yeah,
I heard.
You can always bother me.
Can you tell me what your name is and why you thought it was important or why you agreed to speak here this morning?
Oh. Well, I got asked to speak here this morning. And I guess I.
Start with your name.
Oh, my name is Dan. Last name is Center, right?
Spell it for me.
S-E-N-T-E-R.
Okay.
And the reason I felt it was valuable to speak here is because I think I love what's happening in the community around this sort of search for deeper meaning in life. And so for me as a clergy person to be able to kind of just be a partner in that conversation just is valuable, both for me and my journey and hopefully for others as well. So that sort of collaborative spirit with the community around issues like this is super important to me.
I super appreciated your comments about thinking more critically about Thanksgiving
yes.
in its context.
Yeah.
What kind of response do you get with people as you ask them to think more critically about, you know, holidays?
Well, yeah, it's. I think it generates a level of sadness because we've all kind of had the naive kind of connection to holidays with all of their levity. And now we are required to integrate in critical thinking with those holidays and sort of harmonizing the longing for, you know, celebration and delight and family and just letting loose because life is so complicated and carrying that responsibility of thinking about these things is just more challenging. And so I think people know they need to be doing it, but it's not always easy. You know, it's a little bit more of a heavy lift.
Okay, and last question. Yeah. Last week we had somebody write an editorial about, you know, very critical of critical race theory, and they think it doesn't have a place. What do you say to them?
Know what they're talking about.
Yeah. Well, clearly race matters, right? And so thinking about, I mean, critical race theory is so controversial. So thinking about how to get beyond sort of the knee-jerk reaction to imposing someone else's framework on a nation to how am I responsibly engaging with people of different races is required for our time. I mean, this is a planet we live on, so we all have to have this conversation. How that manifests, I think, could be a little bit more open, so I get why they might get upset about that kind of catchphrase, but it's a conversation we will have.
Thank you.
And who are you?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm Sharon Savoda. I'm reporting for La Miranda Weekly, and then I'm also doing a radio piece for KPFA. I should have led with that.
Are you doing KPFA?
Yeah. Do you listen on Sundays?
Oh, no, I don't, but I love Amy Goodman from KPFA
Democracy
Days.
Now. Yes. Yes.
I know.
Well, you should listen this Sunday.
Can you stop?
I do my own newscast on the third and fifth Sunday of every month, so this Sunday, and then I also contribute on Saturdays.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so what time are you? Because I'm obviously busy on Sunday, but 6 p.m.
Yeah, and I can also...
KPFA.
Yeah.
6 p.m.
If I want to write a letter to the editor to get in for next time, today is the deadline, right?
For the newspaper?
Yeah.
Probably Jennifer just left, but I'm guessing. I'm guessing today would be.
I don't know what the deadline
But can I catch you for a quick... you know what?
I love the way you're working.
I know. Gotta give people story. Because maybe we can get your voice in. I think if you send it today, get it in. If she can't get it in this issue, she'll get it in next one.
Okay, and it has 350 words or less or something like that? Yeah, and I have to do it online.
I believe so.
Yeah.
Can I ask you a quick question before you go away?
Yeah.
Tell me what your name is and why you think...
Libby Henry. I'm part of the DEIB, Lafayette Community DEIB Committee.
How do I spell your last
name? And I've lived here since I was 3 years old.
And how old are you now, may I ask?
I'm 66.
Have you seen, what kind of progress have you seen in the last 66 years?
In Lafayette? Quite a bit. Quite a bit. When I was a kid, it was 99% white in Lafayette. Now it's 81.25%. There's a lot more diversity as far as the people go, but my feeling is one of the reasons that I joined the DEIB committee is to bring some of my experience, because I spent 27 years teaching in West Contra Costa Unified, one of the most diverse school districts in...
Can you stop the coffee guy? I want to get a cup of coffee.
In the state, and, I think I know a little bit about the subject because my students were from everywhere. And one of the main purposes is to try and get people to understand that it's a mindset. Yes, your actions of course count, but if you don't have the right mindset in the first place, as far as accepting people for who they are, regardless of their race, creed, whatever, color, it's not genuine, I guess. It's kind of where I come from.
Yeah,
so I wanted to. Talk
okay, to you can catch him. Just really quickly, when I was telling you, you heard me asking about the critical writer, about the critical race theory, and you said that person doesn't know what they talk about. Say that
because it's not being taught. Not around here. That's not what is being taught. And but people are, jumping on the bandwagon, and this whole mentality of the entire country. They don't know what critical race theory is, but they think it's about, teaching that all white people are bad, some of the things that I have heard.
Yeah.
And this just happened just a few days ago in Missouri. Did you hear about these?
Please, thank you.
Seventh grade kids doing a little mock play to bring slavery back. And these kids were expelled. And now their parents are upset with the school district. And I'm like, my parents made me responsible for my actions.
Okay, I'll leave you alone. Thank you so much.
Okay.